Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I got great anticipation. Something's going on, man. Something is going on in the good U.S. of A. And I got this plug around my ear. Bear with me a second. There you go. What a time to be alive. What I was just thinking as I was coming down here to a multi-million dollar studio here this morning that 20 years ago, guys, remember Y2K? Remember Y2K? Now we're all worried that all the computers were going to fail and all the information was going to go down. And guys went out and they bought what they called generators, and they stored food. And because everything, every one of the, supposedly the way it was done, all the computer programming and all the stuff had been done without putting 2000, like it had 1997, 1996. No 2000 had ever been entered in the, however computers work at the end of it, right? So that when they hit the timing part, so when it hit 2000, boom, everything's going to quit because computer's just information, and the computer wasn't going to be able to read anything because it was all the 1900s, right? Flips over. Remember that? We sat around, wow, what's going to go on? And nothing went on. Nothing went on. But the amazing thing is, to me anyway, I got a little bit of camera turn here a second. There we go. The amazing thing, at least to me, was that's 20 years ago. That's two decades ago. 20 years ago. 2000 was 20 years ago. See, I would have been 47. That's when I got sued by I didn't get sued by the ACLU. That's when I walked away from teaching and coaching. That was my last year. I think back on that's significant, isn't it? That is significant. 1900s. We flipped over to the 2000s. Now we are one-fifth of the way into the decade. My father was born in 1919. My dad was born 100 years ago today. Say, what's going on? Got to play this real quick. I just thought of it as I was coming on the air. I was talking to Randy and Jared, talking to a couple other guys here in the queue before we got rolling. And I got thinking of that Phil Collins song. Go ahead and pull that up there real quick here, Jared. Something coming in the air tonight. I've been waiting for this moment all my life. Oh. Can you feel it coming in the air tonight? Oh, woo, I'm getting goosebumps. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You got it, Jared. There's something coming, folks. Something coming. I can feel it in the air tonight. I don't know what it is. We are doing something significant as we click over to 2020 vision. Randy, can't you feel it? Something's coming in the air tonight, man. Something's coming. Did you guys see that Texas shooting? I was going to pull it up there today, except I didn't want to get so too focused on that. Did you see that Texas shooting? They released the video, the church video. Oh, this is great too, Jared. I don't think this has the video in it. This is the daughter of the deacon, the guy who was shot, was a registered nurse there. And the killer shot one guy. Hey, folks, listen. I remember, does anybody remember Nobody buys it anymore. Protect the flock with a Glock. Remember that? Remember I warned you? Pastor Tom Gill gave me that. Protect the flock with a Glock. There it is. Protect the flock with a Glock. And why? Because it says on the back, the devil is coming to church. Folks, he's already there. Be prepared. The devil's coming to church. And you know, if you were to watch that video of that church in Texas, you don't have to look for it, Jared. I should have put it in there among them. They released the security camera video, and it's amazing because the guy stands up out of nowhere, just stands up out of the church, turns, and bang, bang, shoots two people, and within a split second, bang, bang, somebody dropped him. And we found out that there were at least four concealed carry people within the church, packed. They dropped the guy before he killed the one man that we just flashed up on the screen. The Lord's telling us, baby, there ain't no place to hide. I'm just telling you, there ain't no place to hide. And I don't care who you are. I'm not trying to be a scaremonger, a fear porn guy. I'm just telling you, if you can't feel it, then now is the time, as my buddy used to say, to tighten your belt and earn your meal money, boys and girls. It is upon us right now. 2020. Get two more days. 2020. And think how many of those sissy churches. I'm sorry. I'm talking about me now. I won't go to a church where it says no weapons. I will not walk in to a church where it says no weapons. And you know why it says no weapons? Because the insurance companies are the ones who control just about everything, every area of your life. It's why you have to buckle a seatbelt. It's why you have to, everywhere you go, the insurance companies, because of the predatory lawyers and ambulance chasers. Something going on, man. I can feel it. Something in the air tonight. I'm glad you tuned in here. Jared, click on 100 years ago. It's an email sent to 100 years. If you're still going to church, you need to go to your pastor and tell him to make a declarative statement about where he stands on guns. Listen, I'm telling you this. It is time that we reclaimed the house of God. Now, listen to me. You may not be able to change the church, but it's your obligation to speak prophetically to that church. If we do not get our pastors back online, we need to either clean the pulpit or destroy the pulpit. I don't know which. There is nothing more dangerous to American liberty today than the pulpit. Somebody argue with me on it? The pulpit has paralyzed us. The sissy, prissy, love everybody, love everything churches, the pulpits have paralyzed everybody. We're watching them hammer homosexuality down the throat. Boy, I got lost. Oh, Lord Jesus, be with me here. 1915, just 100 years ago today. 100 years ago today. The average life expectancy for men was 47 years ago. 47 years, I'm sorry. Fuel for cars was only sold in drugstores. Only 14% of homes had a bathtub. Only 8% of homes had a telephone. 100 years ago. The maximum speed limit in most cities was 10. Tallest structure in the world was the Eiffel Tower. The average U.S. wage was 22 cents per hour. The average U.S. worker made $200 to $400 per year. Competent accountant could expect to earn $2,000 per year. Dentist made $2,500. Veterinarian could make $1,500, $4,000 if he's a good one. Mechanical engineer could make $5,000. He was really loaded. More than 95% of all births took place at home. Wow. Huh? 90% of all doctors had no college education. Instead, they attended a so-called medical school, many of which were condemned in the press and the government as substandardized. There you go. Government, tell them it's no good. Sugar costs 4 cents a pound. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. Coffee was 15 cents a pound. Most women washed their hair once a month. They used borax or egg yolks for shampoo. Canada passed a law that prohibited poor people from entering into their city for any reason. The five leading causes of death were pneumonia and influenza, tuberculosis, diarrhea, heart disease, and stroke. Wow, American flag had 45 stars 100 years ago. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada was 30. 30 people, Randy, 100 years ago. Crossword puzzles, canned beer, and iced tea had not yet been invented. Say it again. Crossword puzzles, canned beer, and iced tea hadn't been invented yet. There's neither a Mother's Day nor a Father's Day. Thank God, 2 out of every 10 adults could not read or write 100 years ago. Probably higher than that now, truth be told. Only 6% of all Americans had graduated from high school. Marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter at drugstores. Back then, pharmacists said heroin clears the complexion, gives buoyancy to the mind, regulates the stomach, bowels, and is, in fact, a perfect guardian of health. 18% of all households had at least one full-time servant or domestic help. How much? 1 in every 5. At last, there are about 230 reported murders in the entire United States. It's amazing how fast everything around us has changed. It's impossible to imagine what it would be like in another 100 years. Wow! Can they even imagine 100 back in 1920? Could they ever imagine where we were? Think about back to, I was doing a little bit of research today, Y2K. Where was Facebook and during Y2K? Was there Facebook? Was everybody on Facebook? Did everybody have cell phones? This is just 20 years ago, folks. 20 years ago. Somebody come in and comment about that. I don't want to get bogged down on this. It's just something's going. Something. Can't you feel it in the air tonight? Oh, Lord. Come on in, somebody.
I've been feeling it coming on for the past little while. You know, we're going to have war right here. I see it coming. I see it happening.
I feel it in the air tonight. Rob Q just said Detroit is lost.
Won't put up with this crap anymore from our government. You know, it's everybody I talk to say, that's it. It's time to fight back.
Let me tell you this. And I had the most amazing, I won't tell you where because it doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter. But I was in a house yesterday visiting someone. Dare I say it? Very, very liberal house. Good friends of mine, very good people who just are, they're lost. They don't understand it. They don't get it. And then sitting there, I went and sat down in the living room and we're having a good conversation. And MSNBC is on. I mean, it's about all I can stand. I'm sitting about MSNBC. And they're not really listening to it, but it's in the background. So you know where they're getting all their information, right? And I turned to the male of the house and said to him, "You voted for Trump, didn't you?" He says, "Yeah, I did. First Republican I ever voted for." I said, "Why you watch this?" He just kind of looked at me. He said, "You voted for Trump, and all they want to do is talk about impeachment and throwing getting rid of Trump. What do you do when they come on and start talking about that crap?" He says, "Oh, I just changed the channel." Now, I'm telling you something. If MSNBC has lost him, then his wife fessed up and she said, "Well, you know, I didn't vote for Hillary." Now, she didn't like Trump, but she didn't vote for Hillary. Listen, there's something happening. Something's happening here when it isn't exactly clear. All right? There is a gradual awakening. Also, this came, I couldn't believe what came out of his mouth. Right Wing Watch. Boy, do those guys at Right Wing Watch and those other, boy, do they make up stuff about me. It's amazing. They took that video, it wasn't Right Wing Watch, it was one of those others, Pathos or something like that. They took that video that I played about Muhammad Ali talking about red birds and blue birds and green birds, and they wrote the most unbelievable thing about me as if I had been the one that said all of it. And so I get bombarded from the homos. Yeah, the homos. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, homos. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, the same guy who I'm in his house, out of nowhere, he's watching. He's flipping. He's watching. He's talking to me. You know how that is. And all of a sudden, there's, I can't remember what it was. You know what he said? "Hey, Right Wing Watch, I didn't say it, okay? One of your MSNBC viewers said it." This is what he said to me. "Man, them damn queers are everywhere." He said that, not me. There's hope, boys and girls.
Hey, Coach.
I still think maybe we're going to win before season. Go ahead,
Well, Coach, I really think things are going to change. I mean, you got Christianity Today biting the dust, Southern Baptist Convention biting the dust, Chick-fil-A biting the dust, and January 20th in Virginia. I mean, this thing is going to mobilize Patriots. Like, yeah, you can't believe.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, something happening in the air tonight. And I'm going to say this. I agree with Mike Heath. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win, folks. I think it's going to be the most shocking thing in the history of the world. I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm sorry. This thing's bugging me on the ear. I don't know how it's going to play out. But I believe good old American, Christian American values are not going to lose. I believe it. And I can tell you, by sitting in the guy's living room, he is a good old boy who's confused. He thinks the Democratic Party is still the Democrat Party. You understand that? He doesn't get it yet. He doesn't get it yet. But he likes Trump. He doesn't like the Republicans, but he likes Trump. Something happening in the air tonight. Listen, January 14th and 15th, some of us are going to go down and stand with Alan Hoyle. We're activists here. I'm starting to get my bounce back in my step because we're through the holidays. Nobody wants to do anything through the holidays, so we just kind of almost shut down here in our activism aspect of Coach Dave Live. But boy, we're amping it up, and we're planning some good stuff here for January already. But January 14th and 15th, some of us are going to show up down in Charlotte, North Carolina, to stand with Alan Hoyle, who's going to go to court. Now, if you would like to be one of those, contact me. Send me an email. Let us know, because Polly Heath and Mike Heath have found a place where we can stay for free. Polly, are you there? I don't know if you're listening here right now, Polly. I should have been more prepared for this. Listen, we'll get you more information. But if you want to go make a difference, January 15th is Alan Hoyle's trial, and we are going to be there. And on the 14th, we have a place to stay. You may have to bring a sleeping bag. You may have to bring a cot, whatever. But we have this is important, folks. We need to begin to stand up for those who are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Polly, I see you're here. What's the scoop there, Polly, real quick? Yeah.
Alan has a friend who lives just an hour north of Charlotte, and he's opened up his home for 12 guys to bunk up at the house on the floors. They're going to have pads for you to sleep on. Just bring your own sleeping bag, pillow, bring some snacks, some foods, and just come and fellowship for Monday night. Is it Monday? What day of the week is it? I don't know. Whatever day it is.
This is the trial on Wednesday, I think.
Let me see. Wednesday. So Tuesday night, the 14th. And if just email Polly at pollyheath.com, and I'll give you some detail.
Or you can email me as well. And listen, if you're in the Ohio area and you want to go, you can. I can put 7 guys in my van so you don't have to drive by yourself. If you'd like to go, you got to email me, say, Coach, I want to go. And then let me throw this on top of it. We still don't have all the details worked out on this. January 20th. It's Martin Luther King Day. Excuse me. So it's a holiday, right? People don't have to work. That's the gun rally thing. That's the Second Amendment rally in what city is it? Richmond.
Richmond.
We're gone. We are going. Okay. We're gone. Again, if you want to go, let us know. We're going to get our hats. We're going to put our Coach Dave hats on, cross hats. If you're in the Columbus area and you want to go and you want to meet up with us, if you're on the way down there and you want to meet up with us, we would like as many. They're expecting, I don't even know how many. Folks, something is happening. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Something's happening, man. And I saw something last night. Oh, I'm full of stuff. See, it's been 2 days since I've been able to get on, right? 2 days since we've had the show. Start doing a Sunday morning show. Folks, we're going to know here soon. I believe, I could be wrong, I believe we are going to see the first shot across the bow at the deep state. We will see within the next 2 days some indictments come down. That's my prediction. That's my prediction. We're going, I don't know how high it's going to go. I don't know what, but we're living in really, 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 really unbelievable times. Now, I was supposed to, Gary Pierce is going to get mad at me because I'm supposed to show a video about the our new platform that we're opening up here. Gary, I'm going to get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it tomorrow. I got to shut up a minute because I feel some of you wanting to say something. I got some good stuff for you. Hang in there with me, but come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I was at church yesterday, and I mentioned this rally to several people. And one of my friends actually has a 3% sticker on his car. Another security guy's going. So this is something that you guys can find people who are doing all around the country, especially in Virginia. But this is going to be something that crosses all these boundaries, Coach. Everyone wants.
That's right. Mark, my brother, who is, he's as far from being a right guy as you can be. He would get in the car and ride with me over gun rights.
Amen.
All right. He's not a believer. He'll get in the car and he'll fight for gun rights.
If y'all know three gun people who are out sport gunning and a lot of college people, a lot of millennials, you see, this crosses all these boundaries. The three gunners are not going to let their guns be taken. So
no.
Use these talking points to witness. And, yeah, bring your hats.
We'll have some hats. Hey, listen, friends, how about everybody a Glock shirt? That would be great. Everybody protect the flock with a Glock shirt showed up. That would be important. Folks, I'm telling you, we are entering into a 11-month, at least an 11-month period like we have never seen in American history. I believe
Amen.
That this will be much like the upheaval of what led to this Civil War. I believe that deep in my heart. I don't know how it's going to play out because – you know, we're not guys with muskets anymore, right? We're living in a different culture and a different society. We saw an attack on a Jewish synagogue. Now, see, again, I was at my slow down, Coach. I was watching. I never watched TV, but when I was over to this guy's house, that's what they had, the media coverage. And they had, what did they have in there? Oh, you're right. They had a black man, MSNBC, I think it was. Could have been CNN. They had a black man, expert, right? Black expert sitting in his chair talking about, are you ready? Are you ready? How the Jews and the blacks need to unite together against this anti-Semitism and racism. Folks, if you can't see the devil's brew that they're cooking up in front of us, I don't even know what to tell you. They won't even cover the fact that some people got killed in a Christian church because Christians are fair game. You see what's going on? Oh my goodness! I'm stomping my feet. I'm so ready to run.
That was a stabbing too, Coach. So we're back to knife control. We're going to take all the knives.
Yep. And by the way, have you seen the picture of that guy who did that stabbing? Why, he doesn't look like me or you, Mark. He doesn't look like one. He doesn't even look like Robert Klaus or Randy. No, he doesn't look like any of those. You don't see his picture being flashed everywhere, do you, folks? There's something really, 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 really going on. Anybody else? Come on in. I got some good stuff for you still. Doesn't matter. Cool. We don't have to. All right. I got it. Lord, what do you want me to show here? What do you want me to show here, Lord? I got 10,000 things on here that are of importance.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Coach, my cousin is, he's a lot like us, but he's not a Christian. He's right? All Trump all in with all this, what's going on, but we talked the other night. You know what he said? This is profound. He said, you know what, Randy, what's coming? I said, what? I know, but I said, what? He said, this is going to be a battle between good and evil.
Really?
He sees that, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
This is what all these people are seeing. They need somebody with the standard to come in with the flag and go, here's why we're doing this.
Hey, Randy, not only that, Jesus himself, I don't know exactly what the scripture was, but Jesus was out hanging out with his boys, and some of them came out running up to him, and they said, hey, Lord, there are guys over there casting out devils, and they ain't part of us. They're not part of our group. Should we go stop them? Anybody know what the Lord said? He said, leave them alone. Because those who are not against us are for us. And I'm convinced of this, that there are a lot of people who are for us, but they don't understand the gospel. They do not understand redemption. the forgiveness of sin, redemption of the Lord, and coming back in relationship with Christ. And they feel like they're outside. They can't claim to be a Christian because they don't feel worthy of being a Christian. But yet they have Christian values. They have Christian morality. They don't always follow Christian morality, but it's still inside them. And they don't want to open up their mouth and speak about moral things because they themselves are living an immoral lifestyle. They know that they are. But they also know that there's something bigger than themselves, something beyond this, and they don't know what to do. And we haven't done a very good job of teaching people what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was all about redemption of the eternal soul, of the natural man, coming back into a relationship with Christ, all things becoming new. That's what we've called them, religion. And so they're on the outskirts. They would never, ever, ever come to a church. Why aren't they going to come to a church? They know what they are. They're not going to walk in that place. What is it, Robert? Come as you are, sing just as I am, and leave as what's? Give me that third one on that, Robert.
Go as you were.
Yeah, come as you are. Sing just as I am, and go as you were.
No change.
That's the American. That's the American gospel, folks.
They want your change, but they don't want you to change.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And we know this, don't we? Huh? We know that the Bible tells us in the book of Joel. I'm not a good prophecy teacher. If you came here for Bible prophecy, you came to the wrong place. But I know this. The Bible says in the book of Joel, I think it is, somebody can help me out if you want to, that before the end comes, there's going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. Young men shall dream dreams, your old men shall see visions. Where is that? Somebody's looking for it for me right now. Come on, one of you Bible scholars, help me out.
Joel chapter 2.
Joel 2? Trying to find it there. Jared's got a sissy Bible up there right now. He's doing okay. There it is. There it is, Jared. The promise of the Spirit. It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Folks, those of you who are clinging to the hope of the blessed rapture, have you seen this happen yet? Has he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh? Are young men seeing dreams, old men seeing visions? What is that happening? Do you see I think there's a great revival coming. I count me in the Mike Heath camp. I think we're going to win. And I'm going to continue to fight. See, I'm not just going to sit back and hope we win. I'm not just going to sit back and hope they let Alan Hoyle off. I'm going to go do what I can to help him get off. I'm not just going to sit back and hope or pray that they block attempts to end the Second Amendment. I'm going to go actively do something about it. And that's the attitude we all have to have. And it's the attitude we have got to be world changers. We have to be opening our mouths and speaking to power, speaking truth to power on our side. I watched a real short clip today from Mike Heath, played on his show this morning, of Tony Perkins. I don't know Tony Perkins. I would know him if he walked in the room, but I don't know him. I don't know the first thing about him. I don't know anything. But you know what? He's prim and proper, Mr. Christian, and he's driving the bus while we're going over the cliff. Being nice to everybody, saying the right words, using the right terminology, and the average guy sitting back, like before this show got, and then we began to get together here, the average guy was all alone. He didn't know what to say. He saw things, didn't look right, knew somebody needs to say something about it. Nobody was saying anything about it, and Donald Trump comes along, and he starts calling a spade, and guys' heads pop up, and their eyes pop out, say, no kidding, no kidding. And our leadership are, what is it? Are gelded men. American church leadership are gelded men. Those are men who've had their cut off. They are gelded men, afraid to hurt anybody's feelings. Hey, guys, I was almost praying about this morning. I was almost praying about this. Lord, give me 15 minutes on Hannity. Oh, Lord, give me 15 minutes with Tucker Carlson. Oh, Lord, let me get on there and speak the truth and call a spade and a sodomite a sodomite. Lord, let me get on there and do that, Lord. Open that door, Lord. Because I learned by sitting in that guy's room yesterday that even the ungodly are sick of it. They're sick of it. Hey, Jared, pull up. Where is it? Hey, Jared, pull up the Bible and the homo. Bible and homo. Because that's what they want to tell us, right? I'm sorry, man. I'm all over the park today. If you want them, here you go. I'm not going to read them all. Here's a bunch of verses. I just Googled. I said, verses against sodomy in the Bible. Hey, Jared, just scroll down there. There's 100 verses. And I get Christians and pastors telling us that they're born that way and we're just supposed to love them. 100 verses. Right there you are about it. Pick whatever one you want to, right? Oh, you can say Sodom and Gomorrah is about hospitality. They weren't very hospitable. It's just great, 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 great deception. Great deception. And it is in every... I remember, must have been 20 years ago. Yeah, probably around Y2K. We were sitting in our living room watching the TV when my kids were young. And I remember my daughter Abby, who's 33 now, I think. She was about 6. She's sitting on the couch and she's watching the TV. And 20 years ago now, and a picture came up of two men. It's probably CNN or something like that. Two men kissing. And I just happened to, as that flashed up on the screen, I happened to look over at my daughter. You should have seen the look on her face. She scrunched up her face. Why? Because inside that little girl, she knew something was wrong with that. And now they're taking them in kindergarten and they're teaching them there's not something wrong with that. You see what's going on? So there's 100 verses about sodomy. How about just marriage? What if we just camped on marriage? Getting married and staying married. What if we just camped on that? Oh boy. Am I okay today? I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm just sorry. Somebody come on in here and rescue me here this morning.
Hey coach, back on that term, are we winning? Was Jesus winning when he was on the cross, fulfilling God's purpose? Was the early church winning when they were being persecuted and killed like dogs? Was the Nigerians here that were executed by ISIS that stood for Christ and with a smile on their face and said, take me, were they not winning? Coach, the picture of not winning doesn't always look beautiful.
Yeah. Remember Rocky 2, 3, 4, or 5? I don't remember. Rocky was talking to his son. Well, that's another clip we could pull up, Jared. But Rocky says, that's how winning's done. That's how winning's done. We don't know how winning's done anymore, see? We don't know what winning looks like anymore. We want a short, quick victory. That's how winning's done. We need a lesson on how winning's done,
boys. The only losers, coach, are those that don't follow Jesus Christ. That's the only losers.
Right? Amen, buddy. Oh, Jeezy, crabby Jeezy. Okay, listen, guys. Are you with me? Y'all still with me out there today? You still with me? I'm just telling you. I just feel something. I thank God every day that he brought you guys in my life. Now, some of you out there, you're still lurkers. You're still lurkers. You're watching. You're not telling anybody you are, and you're watching. Hey, Randy. Hey, Robert. I just say you guys because I see you on my screen, Randy and Robert. Some of them are pastors. They're watching, and they're not telling anybody. They're not. But I've gotten word.
Well, hey, Mark Trump. Well, Mark, I don't know if you're allowed to share that or not. I don't know if you're allowed to share what. Well, I don't want to put anybody on the spot.
What's that?
About, hey, Reese, about what the pastor preached on.
Well, it's good stuff. I mean, which piece of it, right? I mean, he did the seven things that God hates in Sunday school.
How about that?
Seven things that God hates. And then this past Sunday, he actually had everyone in a Sunday school class submit questions. And he actually went through these. And these are, you know, is healing exist today? What's the difference in the Son of God and the Son of Man? You know, things like that are what people ask. But it was a Sunday school.
He actually asked people what they thought?
It was a totally interactive Sunday school, and it was a bit controversial. Yeah. And at the end of it, I had a question related to should we hate what God hates? And it's very interesting, the dynamics between people and people being bold enough to speak out. I mean, it was interesting. So I'm hopeful, Coach. I'm hopeful.
We all can make a difference where we least expect it. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. Don't believe the media. There are more people around you who agree with you than you even know. And no matter what, you have to begin to red pill those who don't, because they do know. They do know. But they've been convinced, see, like they have been, isn't this girl beautiful? She used to be the littlest thing. They're being convinced because they're not hearing the truth in their local churches about, let's say, the LGBT, because the people going to church are, the Bible says, thank you, Lord. If the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? And see, there's an uncertain blast of the trumpet. We're getting a about what we're supposed to be at war about. Are we supposed to love these people or fight these people? Are we supposed to accept these people or stand against these people? Are we supposed to welcome them in this? Or are we supposed to? There's confusion. It's an uncertain trumpet blast. And so, therefore, people are getting their opinion on how Christians should respond to this issue. They're getting their opinions from the television, from media. They're being programmed because the trumpet blast from the church is uncertain. If the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will prepare for war?
That's good, Coach.
It's all programming, see. And so these people, like, they can't believe at our get-together the other night, I used the S word. The S-O-D-O-M-Y word, I used that word. And it's like, you would think I had, what? What did he just say? Well, how did we become so soft? When did we begin to call that gay? And the only way it happened is because we accepted it. We didn't stand up and say, no, that's not. That is vile and wicked. That behavior is vile and wicked. As I like to tell them, there's a reason why when you go into the Wendy's restaurant, there's a sign that says, all workers must wash hands before returning to work. There's a reason why. What, David? My grandkids stayed last night. If you want, why I'm so fired up, why I'm into this thing. Well, yes, it is. Quit arguing with me. So you see what I'm saying? It's that uncertain blast. And so we need to become that certain blast. I'm against it, and here's why. Do you remember we had a controversy on my show a few months ago because people said I was preaching hate? Listen, I can't make it any more clear than this. I cannot make it any more clear. I hate sodomy. I hate it. I hate homosexuality. Not the one who practices it. He's trapped in his sin. But see, you can't love somebody in their sin and convince them of their need to turn from it. They need a sharp rebuke. Hi, David. The Bible says they need to be pulled out of the fire. That's in the book of Jude. They need to be rescued and pulled out of the fire. That's a manly job, buddy. Manly job.
Don't climb, but just stand up there and say hi to everybody. That's all you got to do. Oh, you like being seen? Just a minute. I got to – hey, there they are.
Coach, the lack of not hating sin and evil is the proof there is no fear of God.
Randy, what would hating sin look like? Is it hating just sin just in me? Is it okay for somebody to come and teach these guys to sin? Is that okay? Grandpa says, oh, why'd they teach you in school today? Well, Grandpa, they taught us to do this and this. What? Oh, my tax dollars? They did that? What? I don't love him if I let that go on. See, we love the sinner so much that we don't protect the innocent. Don't make funny faces because they'll be seen out all across America and they'll think there's something wrong with you. We don't think. They say, look, he must be torturing his little grandson. You with me, folks? You with me? That's where it is. They have so misconstrued and turned everything upside down. Honest. I was so encouraged yesterday to sit in that living room and hear that guy say what he said. Because I'm telling you, he's on the other side. Let there be no doubt about it. But he ain't on that side. He ain't on that S side. I'm watching my words here, right? He's not on that S side. I can promise you that. He's sick of it. He's sick of it. And he's not on that take the gun side. I can tell you that. And so there's a real clear clarification. That's double entendre or whatever. Clear clarification. It's becoming very, very clear. The line is being drawn. You have to pick a side. Which side you're going to be on. And see, for most of us, it's we're voting. I'm about done with evangelicalism. I'm about done with it. Friendship evangelism. Bend over and take it. I'm about done with it. I'm just telling you. I've almost reached the point where I don't even use that term anymore. I'm an evangelical. I'm not an evangelical. I'm not. I'm a love God first, hate the sin kind of guy. That's me. Love God, hate sin. That's me. I'm not into friendship evangelism. I'm not into trying to get everybody saved everywhere I go. I would like to, but I'm not. I'm sorry. That's not. My job is to go into all the world, teach them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. Matthew 28, pull that up there, Jared, just so they don't think I'm lying. Just so they don't think I'm lying here today. By the way, have you guys been memorizing your verses yet? I asked you about that the other day. Have you been doing it? And memorizing your verses? Probably not. Jesus wept. Okay, there's one. You can have that one. You can go use that one. Huh? What did I say to pull up there, Jared? I'm so wound up here today, I don't even know what I'm doing. I think I said Matthew 28, didn't I? Go to the very end of this thing. Very end. Right there. Jesus getting ready to leave, Reese. He's getting ready to leave. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Folks, the devil isn't in control anymore. Sorry. They're teaching that in your church. Get a new church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Doesn't say go there and get everybody saved. Huh? Doesn't say that. It says go teach them the truth. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Go and teach them what I've taught you. And salvation will be in the midst of that. Salvation. Can I tell you a real quick story here? This is awesome. I know she won't mind. This is how the gospel works. Doug Hagman sent me for Christmas a beautiful little statue of, I should have brought it down, but I didn't. You don't have to, Michelle. I know Michelle. She's probably going to grab it and bring it down. Brought me a beautiful statue of a warrior of Ephesians 6, is it? Warrior. Full armor of God warrior. Doug mailed it to me. God bless you, Doug. Thanks for doing that. And I was sitting out showing Reese saw it, sitting there. I said, Grampy, what's this? What is this, Grampy? And so I set her down and I explained to her Ephesians 6 and explained to her that what are angels, Reese? What are angels not? Say it real loud.
They're not girls.
They're not girls. I said, they're not girls because they're men, because the job of men is to do what, Reese?
Protect the women.
Protect the women and children. That's our job. So God wouldn't send women to do that. He sent men to do that. They're warring angels. They're manly angels. And we went through the conversation about war and fighting against war. And you know what ended up happening? It was the most unbelievable thing. this sweet little thing to me. She says, Grampy, I've never received Jesus. I said, what? She says, how do you do it? I've never received Jesus. And sitting right there on my lap on the couch upstairs, she confessed Christ, didn't she?
Praise be the Lord. Praise be the Lord.
She's 9 years old. She knows what she's saying now. She said, oh, I went to church, and I kind of did it in church. But my granddaughter, you understand how powerful that was? She passed from death into life right before my very eyes. And now listen, for those of you out there, I tried to explain to Reese. Reese, as a little David, let's use David, or let's use little Annie, what's their position on salvation?
Well,
get up here so people can hear what you say.
They're protected by the parents.
What does that mean?
So if the parents have accepted Jesus and their baby is covered over with them until they're able to make their own choices.
And so you walked out of your mom and dad's covering and said, Lord, I want to be your follower too. Did that right? Give me five on that one. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That's the way it's supposed to happen. And it didn't come from me telling her how much Jesus loved her. She already knew that. You hear that everywhere you go, how much God loves you. Jesus loves you just as you are. He loves you just as you are. You don't have to change not one iota. Well, what a lie that is. I changed. I changed. Reese changed. She's going to be with me there. Paradise. Love you, Reese. All right, man, I probably shouldn't. Yeah, I'm glad I said that. I'm glad I said that. Where was I? Was I heading someplace? I'm telling you, I'm all over. I've had 2 days alone with me. No chance to get rid of it. Robert, get ready here. I haven't forgot you. December 30th, 2020. 2020. Is that significant? 2020 vision, perfect vision. Lord, open our eyes that we will see and understand. Lord, 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 Lord. Okay, Robert, come on in. I got two things I got to get in. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is pretty short, but it is about activism and about what we're expecting will happen. It says, it is easier to speak about revival than to set about it. And that could be said for any activist thing we need to pursue. The Lord reveals his word and carries out his will in all who are hungry for truth, who Amen. Are living sacrifices for him. This is a reasonable service of worship to those who are being taught and led by the Holy Spirit of truth without discrimination regarding one's age, gender, education, spiritual gifting, troubled past, miserable wanderings, and moral failures or sins. It says if we stumble in many ways, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. So there is the need for confession of sin. But with sincere confession and true repentance, one is forgiven of sin.
Amen.
Thus we are told to forget the past and reach forward to what lies ahead. In the power of the Holy Spirit and sanctified by his truth, cleansing ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. And we'll see this happen, I think, in 2020. We're going to see a cleansing of the house of God and the culture we live in as Amen. The truth rises up, as the army of God rises up.
Amen. And you know what I think, Robert? I don't know about you guys. I don't want to spend the last 15 years of my life in a nursing home. I don't want to spend the last 5 years of it. I don't want to have to be laying in a nursing home bed and have my wife have to change my diaper. I don't want, you may want to go out like that. Huh? No. And I'm going to tell you something else. This is going to really shock you. Huh? I don't want to go out here in a rapture. I don't want to go out here in a rapture. I want to go out here standing for my King. I don't want to be sucked out of here when all the good stuff's getting ready to start. I don't want to, man. So, what are you saying? I'm saying this. I want to go down standing up. I want to go down standing up. I want my life to end in the cause of Christ, not to be vacuumed out of here just before all the trouble gets here. Hope I didn't make any of you mad. One more thing I got to do. Oh, I got so much more. Jared, pull up the thing that says prepare, no internet. Now, Jared, we're going to put this on time and a half speed to get it all done here. Funny, I got this. I put this in my file today of stuff to look at, and Vince emailed it. not Vinny, Vince, a different Vince, emailed me and said, Coach, have you seen this? And I already had it in my queue. Go back to the beginning, Jared. Because remember we talked yesterday about preparation, huh? Preparation. And if somebody comes in your neighborhood and trouble breaks out, can you count on the local cops? Can you? I don't know. So this thing is tied. What if there's no internet for 24 hours? And is this, when these kind of things come out, this had 10,000 views already. 15,000 views. When these kind of things come out, are these, what do they call that? A soft exposing? Soft exposure. Go ahead and play it, Jared, real quick.
It's 7 a.m. and the sound of your alarm wakes you up. You reach over to the nightstand to pick up your phone. With your eyes half closed, you notice you don't have any new notifications. That's weird. But mostly, you're more concerned with getting some coffee in you first. So you get up, grab a quick shower, and head downstairs. After you've gotten some breakfast and coffee, you notice your tablet and see the same thing. No notifications. You also notice there's no internet connection. It wasn't just on your phone, but all your devices. Before checking your router, you try the old turn it off and turn it on again technique. Of course, that didn't help. So you head over to the router and see a blinking red light. The 4G isn't working either. Oh, great. Gonna have to call the service provider. Eventually. For now, it's 7:45, and you're already running late for work. You decide to take a cab. Maybe it'll save some time. You automatically open the app on your phone. Oh yeah, it doesn't work. Could this day start out any better? You think sarcastically to yourself. So you run to the nearest bus stop, which is about 20 minutes away. 20 minutes that you really don't have right now. Winded, you get to the stop only to see the timetable screen blinking, no service. Now, that's either because they can't track the buses and the servers can't access their schedule, or because there aren't any today to begin with. You notice the people around you for the first time. They're all looking at their phones in frustration. Some have even struck up a conversation. Nobody has internet. That's not the first time when you feel panic rising in your chest. If it's not just me, then it could be serious. You spot a cab a few feet away and hop in. But GPS obviously isn't working, and there's mad traffic on the road, even with all the signs around to help. Horns are beeping from every direction, and it's as if the chaos is getting worse right before your eyes as you stare out the backseat window. When you finally get to your office building, the cab driver's voice almost jolts you. 1650. You reach for your card even without thinking. But guess what? That doesn't work either. So you have to dig in your wallet and hope you've got some cash on you. You have a 20. Yes, at least some luck. It's almost 8:30. Yep, you're a half hour late. Everyone else is already there when you walk into the office. Right from the get-go, you're already not that surprised to hear the talk of the day. Internet's down. Somebody's talking about the stock market being at a standstill. Another is talking about how hospitals everywhere are struggling to access medical records since everything was online. You head over to your desk and sit down to start your computer, wondering if you should have bothered coming to work in the first place. You can't send any emails or reports, and you can't download anything. With impatient clients ringing everyone's phone off the hook because their internet and emails are down too, you and your coworkers bust out the old dusty fax machines to send and receive documents. The only problem with that is that there aren't enough fax machines for everybody. That's when you notice another problem. With the whole world calling each other on their landline phones, they're overloading communication systems to the point that you can't reach anyone. It's almost 10 o'clock and everybody's up by now. With the office becoming more of a circus with every passing minute, the boss decides to let everyone just take the day off. Hopefully, things will be back to normal by tomorrow. It's close to 11:15 in the morning. Traffic is still congested, but there's no point going home and just staring at the wall. So you walk around until you find a place to grab some lunch. You can't remember how much money you have in the bank, and there's no way to check. Both your credit and debit cards are now useless pieces of plastic. So you take a 10-minute walk to your local branch. On the way, you hear people's theories on what happened. Some are talking about a global cyber attack. Others are talking about something happening to the satellites. That's when it hits you. What about all your pictures, videos, and data? You had your whole graduation video on the cloud. All those pictures of your backpacking trip across Europe. Are all the memories lost? You feel your heart racing. It's both your fast-paced walking and the thought of losing all those precious records of the best moments of your life. On your way, you stumble across a newsstand. All the papers are nearly gone. You grab the last one. The headline reads, "The End of the Internet." You read briefly that social media companies have already lost billions and the market is collapsing. You get to the bank at 11:45, you and everyone else. There's a line extending outside the entrance. You take your place at the end, only to hear the faint sound of the teller announcing, "We're about to run out of cash. You'll have to come back tomorrow." Luckily, your turn comes right before they start sending people away. You take $400 out of your account to keep yourself afloat. Who knows if it'll be enough? There's no way of knowing how long this nightmare will last. As you step outside, someone runs and snatches a guy's wallet from his hands. People are already getting desperate, and thieves are taking advantage of the situation. You quickly hide your money in your front pocket. It's 12:30, so you head out for lunch. Most places have hung handwritten signs on the door, cash only. Well, good thing you made it to the bank. You find a diner and notice they've got the news on the TV hanging in the corner. There's no internet across the entire globe. Airports are at a standstill, along with ships, trains, and commercial trucking. Panic has broken out in major cities. That's when you remember your folks should be flying home from their vacation in Ireland. You try to call them, no answer. You have no idea if their flight was delayed or canceled. How can you get a hold of them? It's fine, they're okay. Hey, who wouldn't want to be stranded in beautiful Ireland? For now, you've got other things to worry about. you need to stock up on food, just in case this internet thing lasts longer than anyone expects or is ready for. It's 2 p.m. and the streets are packed. Looks like everyone else has also taken the day off work. You naturally start heading to the nearest supermarket, but you figure it'll either be chaotic or just closed, since their POS systems need an online connection. And big places like that aren't about to bust out the pen and paper to keep track of sales. You ask a passerby if there are any little family-owned stores in the area. You would have just Googled that before. Now, you have to talk to someone. You take the woman's directions and find the place. They don't have a lot, but you grab whatever you can carry in two hands and head home. As you walk, you start thinking about how everything you do revolves around the internet. You scroll for hours through your social media feed. You watch everything on YouTube or streaming services. You have cable TV, but you rarely watch it. You feel so isolated, not having heard from any of your friends. You finally get home about 4 p.m. You know it's a waste of time, but you check the router anyway. Still no internet. Since you can't stream anything, you decide to watch good old-fashioned TV channels filled with movies and shows. What a feeling. Granted, you won't be able to Google the actors or any spoilers, but that's the joy of it. The commercial breaks? Not so much. At about 6 p.m., the phone rings, and it's your parents. They've been stuck at the airport all day, only to see their flight being delayed further and further until it was finally canceled. They've just settled into a hotel for the night, with plans of flying out in the morning. But at least they're okay, and you don't make it much longer yourself. After a hectic day, you're ready for bed. At about 10 p.m., you fall asleep to the thought that you'll face the same chaos tomorrow, and you're already stressed about work. It's 3:15 in the morning. You wake up to multiple notification sounds on your phone, and as you turn over, your screen is flashing with pop-up boxes left and right. Phones all across the city, across the globe, are lighting up as if on command. You take a look and let out a sigh of relief. The world is back online. Phew. Hey, if you learned something new today.
Wow, huh? Wow. Mark Trump, the reality of that, brother. Huh?
Amen.
The reality of that, huh?
Amen. Well, I mean, hey, it's all about preparedness, right? What yep. ifs?
What ifs? Yeah, come on in.
They got us.
They've got us. They've got us. That's right, man. As I was watching that thing, I think of all the things I do on this stupid phone. That, wow. Hey, I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Now, see, I'm a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a little bit more dark in some of my thoughts. Because what if somebody pulls that switch on purpose? What if those powers to be, who are almost able to frame the president of the United States, they almost pulled it off. What if those same powers that be decide that they better put a stop to these crazy guys down in Virginia that are rising up and these guys on that internet that are getting together and getting organized? Somebody better make sure that we can somehow disconnect those guys, because the last thing we want is any group of Americans being together. No, baby. It's divide and conquer time in the good old US of A. And it's time some of you out there begin to figure out which side you are on, because unfortunately, that video we just watched, is that prophetic? Is that a soft rollout of what might be just down the road in 2020? Perfect vision. Get some food. Store some cash. Get prepared. None of us know what's coming. What a time to be alive. God bless you. See you tomorrow.